personal experience. It's about cherishing the moments we have left. Anise Thomas is a social worker with 18 years of experience working with children and families. She is also an unpaid carer for her dad, who has PSP. Here, she shares her story. When Dad first started to show signs that something was wrong, we never suspected PSP, even though we knew about the condition. Dad's brother had PSP a few years before Dad received his diagnosis. My uncle sadly died last year in March 2024. When my uncle was diagnosed, we hadn't heard of the condition. His symptoms progressed quickly, and both his mobility and speech deteriorated rapidly. Watching my aunt struggle with caring for him was heartbreaking. I had a front row seat to the horrible reality of PSP. My uncle died last year, and now my dad, who had been so close to his brother, was facing the same diagnosis. It was a tough pill to swallow. Dad's diagnosis came 9 months before my uncle died. Dad was always such an active man, but gradually he'd started to walk slower, dragging his feet and shuffling. For a man who'd always been a fast walker, it was alarming. I kept insisting he go to the doctor, but he kept brushing it off until January 2023, when he finally said, "I think I need to go to the doctor now." That was when the ball started rolling. The doctor was fantastic and referred him to neurology. When we finally saw the consultant in July 2023, we still didn't expect the diagnosis. The consultant did some tests and said, "I have an idea of what this could be. It's called PSP, it's rare, and you may not have heard of it, but it's something we need to take seriously." That was the moment everything clicked. I told her about my uncle's diagnosis, and she suggested there might be a genetic link. Hearing this was devastating for my dad, but at the same time he was determined to help in any way he could with research. As we left the hospital, I could see the weight of the news settling in. Driving back home, he told me to make sure I looked after Mum. We then drove home from the hospital and broke the news to Mum and other family members. Mum and Dad had a holiday book. Dad asked if they should still go. Without hesitation, I said yes. I said they should enjoy the holiday while they could, because we didn't know what the future held. While they were on holiday, I started to plan ahead and consider where they would live in the future and what support they might need. I think it was the social worker in me kicking in. When they returned from their holiday, we had to make some hard decisions. We needed to inform the DVLA about my dad no longer being fit to drive. It was a difficult conversation. Dad loved driving, and having that independence taken away was heartbreaking for him. I also had to consider my working hours and reduce from working full-time to part-time so I could be more available to support my parents. I also began to realise how much his condition was affecting him physically, emotionally and mentally. His coordination and spatial awareness weren't the same, and his speech was becoming more difficult to understand. Alongside the emotional toll, there were practical adjustments to make. My dad's legs were getting weaker, and his hands tremored so much he couldn't hold a fork or pen. The neurophysiotherapy helped, and we noticed some improvement, but we had to adjust the dosage of his medication to manage the tremors. Speech therapy was a lifeline as well. Dad's volume was getting lower, and it became harder to understand him at times. He practiced reading aloud every morning to maintain his voice. Dad also enjoyed singing at church, which helped to exercise the vocal cords. At home, Dad started watching his favourite music on YouTube and singing along to the lyrics. He kept up with these exercises, which has really helped. As a daughter and carer, I've also had to manage my mum's emotional well-being. She's sometimes in denial about what's happening, but she's also the one encouraging my dad to stay active and enjoy life. She often says, "Let's go for a walk," even when he's struggling with his walking stick. It's difficult to see her trying so hard to keep things normal. Mum and Dad are both trying hard to maintain some independence. Moving to a ground floor flat across the road from local shops have helped. The family and I have been working hard to make their lives as comfortable as possible, creating systems to help them remember things like keeping spare hats and walking sticks in the car, putting up visual reminders around the house, and helping my mum manage her own stress. Last September, I took my parents to Spain to make memories while we still could, and this year, we've planned to return to Spain with my dad's older brother and sister and other family members so we can create more happy memories together. It's all about cherishing the moments we have left.